We're going to dismiss the children, and we're going to ask you to stand for our scripture reading at this time. Amen. Which will be coming from Genesis chapter 6 and 7. Genesis chapter 6 and 7. Amen. If you have not yet given your child back to the Lord, amen, it's never too late. If we haven't given our children back to the Lord, it's never too late. Amen. We do that because that is a scriptural and a biblical principle of giving our children back to God. Amen. Well, we won't have a screen ready yet because we have a lot going on, but for those that are ready, let's, Aubrey, if you can, if you get Genesis chapter 6 and 7 on the screen for us, we're going to read verses 22 of Genesis chapter 6, verse 22, and then we go down to Genesis chapter 7, and I'll call out the verses because we're not going to read all of them, but we're going to skip around. Amen. Genesis chapter 6, we'll start off in verse 22. Can we all read together, those that do have Bibles? Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so he did. And the Lord said unto Noah, Genesis 7, verse 1. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the covenant, into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Verse 4, for yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth, 40 days and 40 nights, and every living substance that I made will I destroy from off the face of the earth. Verse 5, and Noah did according to all that the Lord commanded him. Verse 10, and it came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were upon the earth in the 600th year of Noah's life. In the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened. In verse 15, and they went in unto Noah into the ark, two and two of all flesh, wherein is the breath of life. In verse 16, finally, and they went in, and went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut the door. Heavenly Father, we thank you this afternoon. Lord God, we thank you for the reading of your word. Lord, we bless the Lord for how good you've been. Lord, we thank you for being a keeper. Lord, for being a way maker. Now, Lord, as we humbly come before you in this time of need, we ask to speak to our hearts. Lord, speak to our minds. Lord, speak to our souls. Lord, stir up the gift of God that we have in us through thy word. And Lord, give us an ear to hear what the Spirit will say unto the church. And then, Lord, give us a mind to hide those things that you say unto us in our hearts, that we might not sin against thee. And for this, we thank you that we all say in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Truly, we honor the Lord today. And you know, the last couple of weeks, the Lord had our messages, even in the Friday night Bible classes, have been dealing with the mind. Our messages have been dealing with the mind. And it's an old saying that we all are familiar with. Amen. If God has your mind, then God has you. If anything else, we don't like to give glory to the devil, but if anything else dominates and control your mind, that is you. For whom you live, give yourself servants to obey, his servant you are. Romans chapter 6, in trying to instruct the people of God to turn from the wrong to the right, and trying to instruct the people of God to be transformed saved and to do God's will, you have to have a new mind. When we get saved, we cannot have the same mind that we had before salvation. Because the scripture says that if any man or woman be in Christ, they are a what? New creature. Creature meaning creation, meaning that God makes us all over again. Though we may have the same name, God only recognizes our new name, which is Jesus. That's why it's important that you're baptized in Jesus' name, for as many as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Amen. So names are very important. But the devil knows if he can get our minds, he has us. If he can distract our spiritual focus, he had us. Well, this was back in the almost in the beginning. Amen. The Lord said that he had found the ways of man to be perverse, and that every imagination of his heart, dealing with the what? The mind. Every imagination of his heart was evil. How often? Continually. Amen. The wrong focus. It's so important today, brothers and sisters. We got to keep our minds on the right things. Amen. If God has our full mind, our full emotion, and full attention, we will be a mighty warrior for the Lord. Once again, if God has our full mind, our full devotion, amen. If, now, I'm not saying every day is, you got to live Jesus. We got to live Jesus. But we're in the world, the Bible said, but we're not. So you're in the world, you still have a responsibility and an accountability to do the right thing. But what should be the dominating influence in our life should be the mind of Christ. That's why the Word of God, Paul, when he was in prison, wrote to the Philippian brothers. How many know that when you're in prison, that's not a pleasant place to be? When you're in prison, you're not in control. But even in prison, Paul was able to say, let that mind be in the mind. The mind. Let that mind be in you, which was also in. The Lord knows that he needs our mind. Whoever has our mind has us. What it says in the days of old, Noah, the imagination of their heart, which is also symbolic of their mind, was evil continually. So the Lord said, when I look at the mind, how many know that God doesn't see as man see it? Because man looks at our outward appearance. But God judges our mind or our hearts. When God looked at the mind of the people, he said, it repenteth me that I even made man. What was the issue? There was an issue in the mind. Brothers and sisters, today we need to bring every thought into the obedience of Christ. Every thought. Hallelujah. Amen. Sometimes we say, well, you know, I can't live saved all the time, which is true. But you can live godly all the time. You can be godly in everything that you do. Amen. A lot of times when we leave church, we tend to put our godly mind on the shelf until the next service. Can I mellow a little bit? Can I mellow a little bit? I'm going to smell a lot. So I'm not going to make y'all exert a lot of energy. Amen. But God intends for the church to be a living witness. God intends for us to be a living testimony. Amen. God observes us for how we treat each other. God sees how the husband treats the wife. God sees how the wife treats the husband. God sees how the parents treat the children. And that God sees how the children respond to the parents. Amen. So we said, well, how many knows that sometimes we feel as though we've been us for so long, that you got to accept me for just who I am? Amen. You ever heard people say that before? This is me. This is who I am. My question for you is this. Are we seeing you before baptism, or are we seeing you after baptism? Can I listen to that? The you that we're seeing, Lord, thank you. Is it the new you that's been created in true righteousness and holiness after God? Or the new that you that we're seeing, is this the you that was present and active before you went down in Jesus' name and was filled with the Holy Ghost? Lord, hallelujah. How many are really trying to make it to heaven this afternoon? In Isaiah, the Bible said, highway shall be there and a way. There's only one way. I know you hear a whole lot of stuff today that where you go this way, you go that way. No, sir, brothers and sisters. A way shall be there and a highway shall be there and a way. And it shall be called the way of holiness is purity before God. And Paul tells the Hebrew brother, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. So if we expect our enemy, if we expect the thought patterns of our lives, can we actually say that we're living in true holiness? Can we say we're living? She said amen, but y'all want to say, preach, Joyce, and preach, Grandpa, preach. Amen. But are we living in true holiness? Salvation is not about what we feel or what we think. Salvation is about God. So if we were to make an introspection, if we were to examine our very minds this afternoon, as the Lord examines us, would the Lord be able to say that our thoughts are wrong continually? Well, so was the case with Noah. I'm finished, Melvin. So y'all can come back with me, all right? But seriously, on the truthful side of life, we think that salvation means we can act up and act like we want to act, when the Bible lets us know that every effort of our being should be spent to try to be like Christ. Don't try to be like the pastor. Amen. Because the pastor got issues. Amen. How do you know? I'm telling you, I got issues. Amen. Well, that's my wife. But I have issues. So don't be like me. But to be a Christian means to be one life. To be Christ-like. Every day we should spend our lives trying to be more like Jesus. That's why the life, that's why the Bible says, looking unto who? And we do an introspection this afternoon, and let's just look back a little of our life. Who have we been trying to be like? Who have we been looking unto? Yeah, we got a whole lot of stuff on TV, but a whole lot of them don't know about God. Amen. So when I dress, I don't try and dress like anybody, but I try to dress to honor and glorify God. I don't care what's the popular. Somebody said you need the key, more concerned. But I'm not concerned about the Lord's latest styles. The only style I want to be is, Lord, when you see me, I want God to be able to tell me from the depth of my heart, it's well with his soul. I'm going to get back to this. So in Noah's days, the Bible says that everybody was messed up. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Our minds, our pattern of living, will either help us find grace in the eyes of God, or it will cause us to find disgrace. That is a decision that we have to personally make. I can't live your life for you. How many tell our kids that all the time? I can't live my life for you. You have to learn to make the proper and right.
in your own eyes. Amen. They no longer make their decisions based on God and His Word. But their thoughts were evil, the Bible says, continually. I don't know about you this afternoon, but what are your thoughts? Amen. When you're meditating, what are your thoughts? When you're driving in a car, what are your thoughts? Amen. When you're walking down the street, what are your thoughts? Because the Bible says that we are a living epistle, and we are read and known by what?
Everything we do, somebody is reading us. Amen. You go to the job and try to get people to get saved, but they're reading you. And they're reading some stuff. I once heard this thing, someone say about someone who was saved. They said, now I knew you before you got saved, and you were better morally than you are now that you're saved. If you getting saved means you act worse, they said, I'd rather not be saved. That's a poor witness for Christ. If someone that says, I knew you before you got saved, you were sweeter than honey than a honeycomb. Now that you're saved, you're meaner than 10 rattlesnakes in a bag all fight together. Not in Christ. I said not in Christ. When people see us, they should be able to see Jesus. I said when they see us, they should be able to see Jesus. Well, the indictment against the people in Noah's day was there was no God in them. And the Bible says, verse 22, concerning Noah, it says that Noah did the things that God commanded him, and he did a few of them. Verse 22 said, Noah did what? All that God commanded him. And because he was obedient to God, the Bible lets us know that he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And the Lord told Noah, now when you get saved, there's a whole lot of stuff that God would tell you that you won't see yet. Amen. So you have to believe, because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the question. When you don't come to church, how do you hear? Amen. So I said, well, I listen on the radio and I watch TV and this and that and the other. Paul said, though that may be true. You can have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you only have one person that's accountable for your soul, is what he means. You only have one Father. Amen. So it's important that I hunger and I thirst after righteousness. Well, the Bible says concerning Noah, amen, in the seventh chapter, it says that he found his ways righteous before God. And as a result of God finding his ways righteous, he told Noah to do something that by faith does not make sense. I mean, by common sense doesn't make sense, but by faith it made sense. He said, now I want you to build an ark. And I want you to build it up in the top of the mountain. Now, it's like us when we get saved. Some stuff that God asks us to do with our natural mind does not make sense. Amen. So Noah began to build. And we read in verse 22, he did all that God commanded him. God gave him specific instructions for how to build the ark, and where to build it, and what to do, and what to bring into the ark. God gave him complete instructions. And verse 5 says, and Noah did according unto what? All that God asked him to do. Today, are we doing all that God is asking us to do? Have we placed some of our own personal ambitions and all thoughts before God? To be righteous as Noah was, we have to do all. Can we say all?
All.
Amen. We have to do all. So we have to do all to be righteous. But once again, to build an ark in the mountain because there is no water in the mountain. Amen? But what was even more astounding was God told Noah that he was going to do something that he had not yet done. And that he was going to send rain. Now, you know, when we come to church sometimes, and when under the unction, whoever the person is up here, God is speaking, some of the stuff won't really add up and make sense. So the people are looking at him saying, first, he's building an ark in the mountain. Then he's talking about something that we never see, because we never see rain. So they're like, why do we want to do what Noah's saying when he must be crazy? It doesn't make sense. But the Bible says that Noah, in his obedience unto God, did all. My question for us this afternoon, are we doing all that God has asked us to do? Are we doing all that God has commanded us to do? Have we negotiated with an adversary that's getting us to put some of God's principles aside that we may do what we want to do? Have we negotiated with an adversary? Sometimes the adversary uses people that are close to you to divert your attention away from God. Well, Noah is preaching for 120 years approximately, the same message is going to rain. You know, they said, you know, Noah, you don't make sense what you're saying. We never seen rain. So how are you going to talk about something that we have not seen? Even through that ridicule, Noah was obedient unto God. In the face of ridicule today, brothers and sisters, are we obedient unto God? In the face of being mocked, are we obedient unto God? Are there some things that we have disobeyed God for in our life and that we're walking in disobedience? The Bible says to obey is better than and to hearken than the fatter. Then today we need to be obedient unto God. Well, Noah did all that God said for 120 years. And only 8 souls were saved. There's a benefit to obedience. Brothers and sisters, saints and friends, don't get caught up in the numbers about what everybody else is doing. Because in nowadays, everybody else were walking by sight and chose not to walk by faith. Everybody else was walking by their own mind and their own understanding. And their own mind and their own understanding said, foolish to build a ark in the mountain. Foolish to talk about something that we have not yet seen. Amen. But the Lord said, be not deceived. My God will not be mocked. And if God said it, we have the assurance that God will bring it to pass. So don't get caught up in the numbers. Hallelujah. Because the Bible said, only Noah, the 8th person, only 8 was saved. A preacher of righteousness was saved. But if I want to drop down to verse 16 of this same chapter, God gives us all space to change. God gives us space to respond to the word of God. Amen. God gives us all an opportunity to do what is right in his eyes. But the ultimate decision is your person. God will not make us do anything. Amen. Because he made us all free moral agents. I've heard people say, well, if God wanted me to do this, why didn't he make me do it? Because God wants us to make a decision. It's our choice to do right or to do wrong. Well, can you imagine the millions and millions and millions and millions and millions of people that were on the earth at this day and only 8 were saved? My question to Would you be part of the eight? Or would you be part of the middle? Would you accept God's word through faith? Or would you be a doubter like the others? If you, this day today is Noah's day, how are you going to make your decision? Are you going to make it based on the masses? When the Bible says straight is the gate and narrow is the way, and only a few will find. If we never get to be more than 1,000 in this church, I don't think we're far off. Amen. If we don't get to be more than 1,000, let us be 1,000 and be righteous before God. Well, what is righteousness? I do the things that are pleasing in His sight. Today, do you do the things that are pleasing in God's sight? And you know what I love so much about God is when we're in error, when we're wrong, God sent something our way to get us back on the right path. But the decision is yours. Somebody said, well, if God wanted me to do it, He would have made me. No, He will not make me. Amen. Because he that cometh to God must first believe. The problem in church today is a lot of us want something from God, but we do not believe. We are part of the million and not part of the eight. I don't know about you, but fight hard like that. I want to be eight. I want to be in the ark. You know what the ark represents? It represents safety. The ark represents safety. You know what the church represents today? Safety. Now, the thing that you have to consider, are you living in safety or are you taking a chance? Say, well, I'm not, you know, sometimes you say, well, I know I'm not right, but I'm going to get right. No. Amen. In the day you hear my voice, I heard the Lord say, harden not your heart. If God is speaking right now, don't put off for tomorrow what you need to do right now, because tomorrow is promised to no one. And as a matter of fact, I heard a true story at a home car service. The preacher said, tomorrow is promised to no one. You don't know what tomorrow brings. And a second later, a tree fell on someone that was in the congregation. I don't say that to scare you, but we don't know what tomorrow holds. Hallelujah. But when I got God, I know who. I said, when I got God, I know who. Now, a lot of times you say, well, you know, I'm working on straightening out some stuff in my life. The Bible's asked us this question. I know it's how I'm almost finished. Y'all don't leave me yet. Amen. Don't leave me yet. I know it's a little hot. It's hot for me too. I didn't even take off my coat. I forgot. That's all right. The Bible asks us this question for those that are trying to make ourselves ready. What unclean thing can make itself clean? What unclean thing can make itself clean? David said, Lord, cleanse me, wash me, and I shall be white. Right, so okay, let me get back to 7 verse 16. I didn't forget. Amen. But can I heard somebody say, can I be led? Because I think too many in church think that God don't see us when we leave. Too many think God does not know the meditation of our hearts. Too many really honestly think that God does not know the motives in our heart. It says that they went in, when in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded. I'm not going to get to the latter portion of this. They went in as what? God had commanded. My question to you today, and only you can answer this question. Amen. And remember that the God of all the earth shall do right. Are you doing all that God has commanded you? Are you walking in obedience? Are you doing all? Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord because he did what?
All.
Amen. Jesus said, if any man will come after me, the very first thing that that individual man or woman must do is what? In other words, you got to take a back seat and let God drive your life. You got to give permission to God to lead you. You got to give permission to God to drive your vehicle. But in church, the longer we're saved, the more we learn of God's mercies, the more we learn of God's grace, the more we take His goodness for granted. And we say, don't you see where I live? Don't you see what I brought? Don't you know what I got in the bank? When the Bible says, not knowing that the goodness of the Lord is intended to, it doesn't say God will make you repent. Amen. Now, make a personal evaluation. We know God has blessed us with some stuff that we've been dead wrong. Bad attitude. Amen. Wrong speech. Ungodly action. Why did God bless you? Because He's trying to lead. God said, you know what? Now, you know you don't deserve what I just did for you. And because you don't deserve it, I'm going to do it. But I want you to make an evaluation. I want you to make a consideration. Why did I do that for you when you know your life was out of harmony? You know your life was out of spiritual balance. God said, why did I do it for you? Lord, I thank you. Hallelujah. I have not always been right. Lord, but when you start, God, my life. Lord, when you start showing me. Lord, I sit back and I have to meditate for a little while and I make a consideration. Lord, why did you do it for me? Because I don't deserve your goodness. I don't deserve your mercy. Hallelujah. I heard Jacob say when God was blessing him, he said, Lord, I'm not worthy. See, Jacob had issues in his life. Jacob wasn't deceived. Jacob was not always honest. So when God started blessing Jacob, and Jacob came to a time of need in his life, he said, Lord, I'm not worthy of the least of your mercy. Lord, I'm not even worthy that you should look at me. I've had some of those unworthy moments. Hallelujah. And then when I started looking at my life, when I started looking at some of my mistakes, when I started looking at some of my errors that I made, I said, Lord, why did you do it? I said, Lord, why did you do it for me when I did not deserve it? Hallelujah. And then God just started whispering some sweet words in his mouth. Yes, you didn't deserve it, my son, my daughter, but I died for you. Amen. I came that you might have. Shall I get some help? I came that you might have. And that you might have it more. So you don't deserve it. But I suffered and I died for you that you might get it right. Amen. The last portion of it says, and the Lord shut him in. This afternoon, the Bible says that God's Spirit, to read in chapter 6, it said His Spirit will not always strive with God. Gives a little space to do the right thing. God gives us all space to act in a godly and a righteous and a holy manner. But He said, I'm not going to always be there for you. So He said, my Spirit will not always strive with man because man is flesh. But His days shall be 120 years. Today God is resting with some of us. Some people might not know personally what you're wrestling with, but we have some issues this afternoon. Are you going to respond before God shuts the door? Now, as I stated, they said it didn't make sense to build this park on the mountain, and we've never seen rain, so the man is crazy. As they told Paul, much learning has made thee mad. It did not make sense. But then when the rain
car. They said, well, you know, it don't really make a whole lot of sense, so I'm all right right now.
When it rained 1 or 2 days,
it was all right.
But when it rained, how long did it rain?
40 days and 40 nights.
And God was so angry at their unrighteous mind and evil thought. Not only did he send rain from heaven, but the depths of the earth also yielded up the water. So they were being inundated with water from above and water from the Lord. Then all of a sudden, when things get to the point that we can't help ourselves, we say, whoa, maybe the man of God was right.
But they had an issue. God had shut the door. You ask yourself the question, well, why did God shut the door? Because God had been warning them over and over. The Bible says that warning cometh before destruction. Amen. So God had been warning them over and over. And the scripture says that when God was of he that hardeneth neck after being reproved over and over shall suddenly be cut off. And that without remedy. Amen. Proverbs 29 and 1, read it for yourself. When you fight against God for so long and God keeps trying to get you to do the right thing. The Bible says, he that hardeneth neck, amen, and refuses to yield in subjection to God will find themselves in a place where God will cut them off. God will shut the door. Amen. What I like what God told the church of Philadelphia in the book Revelation. He says, I am God. He said, I am holy. I am true. He said, but what I want you to consider as a church, I have the keys of David in my hand. God said, I'll open a door that no man can shut. He said, but then because of God, I'll close a door that no man can open. But he brothers and sisters in Africa, do you have an ear?
I don't care what I'm saying because what I say is not important. But do you have an ear to hear what the Spirit of God is saying unto the church? Amen. When you leave these doors this afternoon, hallelujah, and you go to your place of residence, to your place of employment, will God be able to say that it's well
with your soul? Lord, have mercy. But as God begins to uncover the colors of your life, how many know the Bible says there's nothing here that shall not be revealed? There's nothing that you do in secret that God will not eventually begin to make known openly. It's all about living righteous. And the question I want to ask you this afternoon as we all stand and the ministers come forward. Can you live righteous in disobedience?
Can you live righteous in disobedience to God?
That's something to ponder. That is something to consider. A lot of people in church are going opposite and doing what God says don't do and saying I'm a Christian. How can you walk in disobedience and be pleasing to God? In the days of Noah, only 8 souls were saved because they were obedient. Obedience is important this afternoon. Somebody say, well, who are you trying to obey? I obey God. The apostles, in one of the junctures of their life, amen, when the Lord had been dealing with them and performing miracles, and when they were trying to shut down the name of Jesus, they told the apostles that don't speak, don't teach in his name anymore. Amen. The Lord, the disciples or the apostles went to God and said, Lord, behold their threatening. And grant thy servant with all boldness to speak thy word, because it is better to obey God than
spirit will not always strive. Amen. There are going to be some people that have been masquerading as Christians. And God is going to make an example. Will it be you? Heaven means too much for me. I said heaven means too much to me to play with my salvation. If I don't believe in